You are tuned into 1 hour to free them, freeing the mind 1 hour at a time. I'm your host, Kanaska Carter, and you're listening to CHUO 89.1 FM. By freeing others, you in turn free yourself. By liberating each other, we can reach enlightenment, happiness, awareness, and ultimately freedom. The main purpose of this show is to shed light on many truths in our world, such as aliens, abductions, UFOs, government conspiracies, underground societies, the Illuminati, the New World Order, freedom of speech, freedom of the mind, of the self, and others. Liberation, unity, and compassion will be a main focus. Human, animal, and environmental rights also. I will be speaking to you about those who were silenced or assassinated because they spoke out against the government. It's time to give a voice to the voiceless. It's time to speak up. And it's time to rise above what was once thought impossible. It's time for freedom of all beings. Tonight on 1 hour to Free Them, I'll be talking to Doyle Shamley, host of The Hour of the Time in Eager, Arizona. Mr. Shamley is a good friend of the late Milton William Cooper. I'd like to briefly just outline what happened to William Cooper. He was a former U.S. Naval Intelligence officer, traveled all over the world, military bases. He was pro-government, pro-America, pro-military. Brought up in a military family, his father was a retired command pilot in the Air Force. He was in Strategic Air Command for 4 years as an aircraft and missile hydraulic technician. Left the Air Force in 1965 and joined the U.S. Navy. He was a member of the Office of Naval Security and Intelligence, serving as a harbor and river patrol boat captain at Da Nang and the Dong Ha River Security Group, Qua Viet Republic of Vietnam. He was awarded several medals for leadership and heroism in combat, including two with V for Valor. Bill served on the intelligence briefing team as the commander-in-chief for the Pacific Fleet. Something strange happened to Bill in 1966, which altered the way he would view the world indefinitely. He witnessed come up from beneath the surface of the sea a huge disc-shaped craft about the size of a midway-class aircraft carrier. It came up out of the ocean and went into the air, tumbled on its axis, and went into the clouds. It performed maneuvers, came back down, and hit the water at an accelerated speed, remaining intact, never touched the water, and the water parted in front of the craft. Any aircraft made at this time would have been destroyed on impact. This was a technology that in 1966 apparently did not exist. After witnessing a UFO fly up out of the ocean, while serving as an officer for the U.S. Navy, 2 hours after berthing their submarine at Pearl Harbor, there was a debriefing from a commander at the Office of Naval Intelligence. This man made it clear that they, and I quote, didn't see anything, didn't hear anything, and they had to read rules and regulations that told the crew that if they ever talked about whatever it was that they didn't see, that they could be imprisoned, could be fined up to $10,000, and that they would lose all paid allowances due or ever to become due. At this point, Bill Cooper realized that the government was very corrupt and had extreme penalties for those who spoke of truths they would rather keep quiet. Bill went on to investigate such topics as extraterrestrial life, high-level government cover-ups, and the role secret societies play in these cases. He began to publicly discuss his discoveries only to lose his leg by people who later visited him in the hospital after the accident. They came with a warning to keep quiet. Bill went public again but protected himself this time. He spent $27,000 of his own money mailing all over the world the document, the secret government, the origin, identity, and purpose of MJ-12. This was sent to key political figures, friends, and family, so people would have it in their hands. In June 2001, Bill predicted that there would be a major attack on the U.S. within the next while and would be blamed on Osama bin Laden. He pointed out that if the United States government was having such a hard time finding Osama bin Laden, then how is it possible that an American journalist with a TV camera crew walked right into Osama bin Laden's hideout and interviewed him? Immediately stating after the interview, the reporter said that Osama bin Laden would attack Israel and the U.S. within the next 3 weeks. Sounds very suspicious to me. Let's think hard about this one now. If the top members of the FBI intelligence cannot track him down, how can one journalist find him so easily? Sounds like a plan that was not well thought out to me. To date, there is overwhelming evidence that the American government was involved in the deaths of over 3,000 American citizens on 9/11. Bill's final broadcast, November 5, 2001, was dedicated to his next book about his experience in Vietnam, and he was dedicating it to all of those he served with during that time. That evening, the Apache County Sheriff's Department came to Bill's home at 11:15 p.m. They dressed in plain clothes and were being loud and causing a scene near his home to lure Bill out of his house. They were fully armed and ready to serve a warrant for his arrest. It's very suspicious to note that the local Eager Police Department was not notified until after Bill was killed. Bill was a powerful public speaker, an intelligently articulate political activist, a writer, and a shortwave broadcaster. He was the author of Behold a Pale Horse, founder of Harvest Trust, the Kaji News Service, Veritas Newspaper, the Intelligence Service, and Harvest Publications. He was assassinated on November 5th, 2001, leaving behind a wife and children. Well, I'm going to take a quick break to play a song from a group called Rocket from the Crypt. The song is called Bring Us Bullets. This is track 6. Enjoy. Well, we're back, and I have here with me Mr. Doyle Shamley, a great friend of the late William Cooper, and you're tuned in to 1 hour to Free Them, freeing your mind 1 hour at a time. I'm your host, Kanaska Carter, on CHUO 89.1 FM. Doyle Shamley is a rifle owner, smith, shooter, and hunter, owning the business Shamley Arms. He has kept alive the mission of Mr. Milton William Cooper through his radio show, The Hour of the Time, and website, www.thehourofthetime.com. To check out Shamley Arms, please visit www.shamleyarms.com. I'd like to welcome Mr. Doyle Shamley to the show.
Hello, how are you, hon?
I'm great. How are you today?
Good. And if I couldn't, just real quick, be sure to point something out that none of this operation would go on without a lot of people. Hour of the Time is first and foremost in many of our lives, and my key associate and partner and co-broadcaster is Mr. Robert Houghton in our Canadian studios in Ottawa.
Yeah, I didn't even know that there was a studio in Ottawa until maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, I was like, wow, that's crazy. Like the only other place.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, nothing could go on without him as well. So
definitely.
Hats off to you Canadians for stepping in. And
yeah.
And the
well, it should be all over the
there.
World, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
man.
It is. When you told me where you all was from, I thought it was amazing. But let's give out the studio number there for sure, because you're a local audience, you know. It's 613-733-4324.
Okay.
And, he's an integral part. Everything we do is involved with him. And, in fact, in June we're doing some filming on property rights, a new DVD, because that's one of our specialties besides the mystery schools and symbology.
Right.
Is the property rights issue, because it's so inherent to, as a foundation to all of our rights in this Western Hemisphere, that and should be so around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be doing filming right in Ottawa.
Oh, no way. What type of filming will you be doing? Do you know where it will be taking place?
At this point, not yet, but what I was thinking was is this is just something I came up with and didn't even get to run by you.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're going to be together, which only happens three to four times a year,
right.
Rob and I, we've been interested in doing a speaking get-together up in Ottawa, so maybe you ought to run that by him. And
definitely.
We'll get a venue and do a live right there question and answer all night, or if need be.
Most definitely, for sure. I'd love to help you guys out with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for being a part of this tonight. It's much appreciated. I really feel this will help to bring awareness to many about government conspiracies, aliens, UFOs, and the wrongful assassinations of those who speak out against the secrets which are being kept amongst the elite in government.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Shamley, why do you feel Milton William Cooper was assassinated?
Well, you have to realize that throughout his career, he had the ability, and we worked together for years. I lived with him for years, and then just moved down the street was all. We could see each other from our porches.
Right.
We had, Hour of the Time has a record of getting to the truthful research and facts, and when we expose those facts, whether it was being on site at Waco during the siege, or personal correspondence after Ruby Ridge with Randy Weaver and his daughters, or Oklahoma City, which we published a book that was even used in the congressional hearings on the seismograph reports, etc., proving there was multiple explosions inside the building.
Exactly.
And the day of 9/11, when that occurred, we went on live for 10 hours, 10 plus hours straight. You even hear us like trying to get food and take breaks.
Wow.
And reporting live. And when you do that, you are obviously going to step on some toes.
Definitely.
Because if it takes a verbal 2x4 to wake people up in this country and around the world, that's what we're going to use.
So true.
And it will hurt some people's feelings. Some people haven't taken that moment to look in the mirror and face the fact that they have not educated themselves and realize that they were probably deceived a lot of their life and history, and especially in the realms of economics and socioeconomics and politics, and some people, you know, even the layman out on the streets that you would think would be part of the listenership, sometimes will take offense to having to wake up. That's too bad, because
well,
the good people like you all out there and us and the so many thousands of researchers we have in our research corps from around the world that feed us information day and night for our website and our seminars, they realize that it's no one's fault but their own, and they've woken up, and we're moving forward. And that, obviously, you make enemies.
Definitely.
At all levels.
Well, you've made a huge impact on the world so far. You're reaching... Well, you've reached Canada, all over the world, many different countries, and people are starting to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel it's about time. Like, everywhere I go now, more and more people I'm speaking to are aware of this information, are aware of the people who have been assassinated, of the Illuminati. Which direction do you feel our society is headed politically?
Well, unfortunately, socialism is a parasitic disease, and it preys on people's ignorance. It has never worked anywhere in history. And if you look at the roots of even socialism leads to communism, that's the ultimate decay. And even the founding writers and your core people, if you want to look at Mother Russia, if you will, throughout its history, being the pro-proponent of it with China, et cetera, always said democracy, which was defined by the U.S. military even in the manuals for trainees as mobocracy, leads to socialism, and socialism leads to communism. Now, the roots of the communist writings go back to the pamphlets handed out by that oh-so-famous crowd wearing the Fijian caps of liberties, the little red night stockings on their heads. That's very symbolic, the hat they wore even, and it goes clear back to the French Revolution. Karl Marx was nothing but a hired pen to do a modern-day debut. Now, socialism is where the world is headed, and the threat of a world socialist government, the New World Order, if you will, the One World Order, it's gone by various names throughout history, the One World Economic Order, is world socialism. It will do nobody any good. If someone actually honestly proposed to me a world government that was a free republic, maybe based upon our constitution as originally written, not destroyed by scumbag politicians, I would be for it. But you don't have any world proposal that is not socialism. And that is the biggest threat. And unfortunately, even though people are waking up, at the same time, through the public fool system, etc., people have been indoctrinated for three and four generations. I did a whole series called How the Communists Took Control of Canada. And it was so well documented, I could not believe the amount of feedback I got from the Canadian listenership, because I was mentioning names and prime ministers that they had all but forgotten. Very detailed, documented, took four nights to cover it. And people didn't realize that programs they just took for granted that have always been there really aren't that old, and which direction programs were taking them. That is the biggest threat, I feel. And socialism, like I say, it kind of works on a creeping elegance, if you will, scale. It's little chinks in the wall of your freedoms. Slowly, so you kind of ignore it. Well, that's not a big deal. And, well, that's over there. I don't do that activity, so I'm not really going to defend my neighbor or brother down the street.
Exactly.
And before you know it, they've got the wall collapsed.
Oh, yeah. Police brutality is worse now than I believe it's ever been. At the same time, we've had wars for thousands and thousands of years, as long as you can remember. But I remember I saw this one video of this man who was being tased. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Don't tase me, bro. There were so many people surrounding him, but nobody did anything.
Yep.
Nobody even helped him. He was screaming out for help, and they just sat there, and they just ignored it. And all he mentioned, as soon as he mentioned Skull and Bones, they were right on him. It's because they knew that he was speaking the truth.
Yes.
But they want to make him look like an idiot, right?
Well, you know, and that is a common tactic. Let's take Hour of the Time, for instance. You have Ottawa, I think, is pretty much known around the world as being a very diverse capital seat of a country. So having such a close relationship with Canada and the listenership is something to keep in mind. And you look at the fact that Bill's wife was Taiwanese. His children were obviously then half American mutt, which is most of us are, made up of a lot of different backgrounds, and then Taiwanese, of course. And my wife is 400-year-old Portuguese descent in the southwest here, founding of the Albuquerque Valley, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Our public relations and our land rights group is a Jew. My best friends in the Army were half Filipino, and then another gentleman, Douglas, blacker than all get out.
Mm-hmm.
Yet quickly people that don't like us, like the scumbag Morris Dees at the Southern Poverty Law Center,
right,
and the ADL and JDL and those types of entities. In fact, Southern Poverty Law Center seems to like to feature us in their magazine and website, and their last one about 6 months ago, because they're just scumbags, again, we're a hate website, not neo-Nazi.
Yeah.
Well, that would be impossible if you just look at who's in the operation.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, it's a quick good thing to throw around and attack people.
Exactly.
And, like, the victim about the tasing. You mention a certain thing, then you're labeled.
Mm-hmm.
It's so ludicrous, and people have fallen into that trap.
We're losing freedoms every single day, freedom of speech, everything. We can't even speak our minds without being assaulted or killed, you know?
Yes.
It's ridiculous. Like, this one man was killed. He was waiting for, I believe it was his mother, in Canada at an airport, and he was tased to death because he was confused. He had no idea what was going on. He was screaming, and they just ended up tasing him to death, you know? And it's, his mother was waiting outside for him. It's just ridiculous.
Yes, and, you know, Canada, in certain aspects, was the great Western Hemisphere experiment with a national socialist government starting in the 60s, and we are on your tail there. And then certain other aspects, you all are ahead of us in certain other areas as far as, like, and I say ahead of us, I mean down the a bad path, like property and water rights and safety and security of your property and the safety of your water. Canada is kind of being the test bed again for that criteria. Yeah. With waste disposal sites being built next to municipal water supplies. But hand in hand, Canada gets used as a test bed as far as, I'll say, the North America region, quite typically before us. I don't know if it's the smaller population size or the different background of your, you know, founding, et cetera, versus ours. I think it's a combination of several factors, but we do go hand in hand back for years, and that's why I feel the Canadian audience and relationship and economies and politics are so interactive. Rob constantly keeps me updated up there on what's going on with elections and stuff, because I know it directly affects us, and we are the stumbling block to the New World Order.
Oh, definitely.
They've got to make you and us collapse, or they can't get it, the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working hard at that. And you can see those aspects of our ties together going back, even like the weather control treaties. You know, people will say, oh, weather modification and weather control, you're just a conspiracy kook, that doesn't exist. Well, why then do we have in our own hands, I'm talking all of the time, the weather control treaties signed by Canada and the U.S. agreeing not to conduct weather experiments within 25 miles of our border so it wouldn't affect the other country? If it doesn't exist, why did we sign treaties?
All just one big denial.
People need to wake up.
Exactly. Have you ever had contact in any form with an alien or UFO?
No, I have not. I have seen, well, I can't say that. I have no alien, but I have, except for illegal ones from down south. But as far as little green men, if you will, no. But I unidentified flying objects because of my military career, probably, just like Bill, with clearances and in front line, a veteran myself as well, like him. Happy Memorial Day to everybody out there. I have seen things that I cannot explain, and they tend to be around areas of high military government secrecy and activity.
Mm-hmm.
We're right in the core pocket of it here in the American Southwest.
Right.
And I've talked to many other people who've seen and felt things that they cannot explain. Can I attribute it to a reptilian race or something? No, I can't, because much of what I've seen is military black ops.
Exactly.
We used to see, as a little child, black triangles that were deathly silent until they were directly over you, flying at incredible incredibly low altitudes, you did not hear them approach until you almost had a vacuum effect, that sound like right before a tornado.
Yep.
And it was the stealth bomber being flown all over the deserts here. In their test in the 70s, the government would repeatedly deny any black triangular-shaped flying objects, et cetera, the stealth programs. And so I have to take a real critical eye at a lot of the reports because I'm a direct viewer, victim, what have you, of, let's say, that program. I saw it. It's scary. You're little. There's this black thing flying right above the ground over your town. No one's seen nothing like it. It's denied as anything military. And then you see the great worldwide debut in Desert Storm.
Well, I know I'm from Newfoundland originally, and many UFOs are actually reported there. My sister's father, he was in the RCMP, and he mentioned seeing, it was three dots in the shape of a triangle, and it was the same three dots. It was almost like stars, and he had viewed them twice in the air. And every time he would look at it, it looked very obscure, and then as he would stare at it, it just eventually would just dart away.
Uh-huh.
So it reminds me of this triangle craft that keeps being reported. I've seen, like, photos that they have online or whatever, but, you know, it's all still over, like, it's still speculative. Like, no one really knows for sure if, but you have seen this with your own eyes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then, like I say, growing up in the early 70s, and it all came out to be the Stealth Fighter Project of the U.S. military. So, but they did see that the UFO movement has been used as a tool by those conspirators, the insiders, the Illuminati, as a great tool to distract people from the real threat. Why they were getting raked over the barrels on their rights and their sovereignty all over Canada and America. They have huge segments of the population chasing that mytho. And the stealth project is one I like to refer to because there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Who's flying them? It's the U.S. military.
Yeah.
You get to see them on the news. Like I said, I always refer back to Desert Storm because so many people can remember the big debut of the tactical strikes by the bombers and fighters in Iraq, in Baghdad especially, right on CNN. And for years, people were told, oh, no, that doesn't exist. We don't know what you're talking about. And even inquiries, oh, it must be unidentified, but we can't figure out what it is.
Right.
So for years, the U.S. government itself used that to keep people distracted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very decisive field right there to keep people divided and fighting and arguing. I personally, like I say, cannot verify that many of the things I've seen, which are strange as all get out, trust me.
Yeah.
We have two different releases here that Bill filmed himself at Area 51 on DVD, Project Red Light and Project Red Light 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we only distribute Red Light 2. That was because Bill liked that one better. It wasn't updated. And that was all on site at Area 51 filming.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see objects move and disappear and reappear opposite sides of the sky and make perfect right angle full speed turns, you have to wonder, where's the technology coming from? Where is it going?
Yeah.
And if you look at the Blackbird SR-71 spy plane project, you got to remember that was funded and known by President Johnson of the United States, that old. And never got released as an official bird, if you will, until the mid-80s. And we'd been flying around for 20 years. The Blackbird Project, and funded officially everything, but it was officially denied all along. So I can guarantee you right now, what you see out there that may seem cutting edge with the governments and militaries,
it's far beyond
that they just released is 30 years behind what they really have.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the Amaro and the potential for riots and imprisonment for those affected?
Well, the Amaro, I can tell you this, they will never go in my pocket or my family's.
Mm-hmm.
I will not use them. I don't care who thinks they're going to make me or my family or militias or church groups or neighbors use them. If the Amaro tries to get shoved through a man-made crisis, which will probably be the stimulus, is it will be a man-made crisis, mm-hmm. a total North American economic collapse, or use a man-made crisis in conjunction with a major natural catastrophe simultaneously to try to justify it. Anybody that's smart will rebel.
Exactly.
No, there will be problems, I guarantee you.
Well, I heard any currency, whether it be Canadian, American, or Mexican, will be worth 98% less than its original worth. So if you have $10,000 in the bank, you're getting $200. This is just what I've heard, but I don't know if it's the truth or not.
The numbers I've heard have not been so severe, but I can tell you this, simply using pure empirical and historical data.
Right.
The only way for an Amero to work would be, Canada's right on our tail, and just about 8 months ago or so, we were like on par, you even exceeded us.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say we're about even with the American dollar and Canada, okay?
Okay.
Because we are about just even, Steven. The only way, you can't suddenly prop up what is essentially a third world economy, which is more corrupt than even ours. I know that seems hard to believe, but I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
In Mexico and South America, you can't suddenly bring it up to our value, our gross national products, our output, our manufacturing base. You cannot do it. The only way to bring us on some socialist happy median is to drag you all and us down by about 50%.
Right.
But it's still horrifying. I don't care if it drags us down 1%. I'm not doing it.
Exactly.
And I hope Canada... gets on the ball, and I know a lot of people have been inundated, and I know a lot of people, Canadians, are incredibly friendly. I'd say more laid back than Americans. Mm-hmm. Americans tend to do these knee-jerk things and get all riled up, a little quicker maybe.
It's the media.
But when I have seen farmers sick of the despotic government policies on how they're going to raise chickens or their water or how they're going to plant and how they get together and tell the authorities, no, I'm not doing it anymore, I'm done. You guys unite proudly, and you have such a proud heritage of uniting to do what's right. I hope that large portions of Canada have not been too mesmerized and will stand up with their American, and I can hardly say allies, in the fight against a North American currency.
Exactly.
The simple fact is it will not work. The Canamex highways, et cetera, I'm glad Arizona here, that's the Canamex highway is much more crucial to their North American transportation system for the North American Union, the Amero, than the Trans-Texas Corridor. And the Trans-Texas Corridor gets all the limelight, but the Canamex highway was signed in 1995 as a shirt-tail rider by President Clinton. I have the pictures of him signing it. I have the official legislation and the official designated route. And it was just hidden under a Highway Safety Act of 1995. Now, luckily, a big portion of it was supposed to hit the country right here in Arizona, and the Arizona legislature shot it right in the ass. all 30 different pieces of legislation to try to make an inroad, 30 simultaneous pieces of legislation. So tell me that isn't an on-purpose attack.
Yeah.
Exactly. Every one of them was blockaded.
Okay.
But the corridors from South America, Central America, Mexico, through the U.S. to Canada is something they have to get done.
Yeah.
So that's one way to fight as far as a North American currency is to attack those. And you need to really look at the environmental policies and the illegal treaties entered into by the two major governments, America and Canada, with South American governments and Mexican government, Central American governments, etc. Your wildlands projects, your travel management plans, the FAO, which is the Forestry and Agricultural Organization of the UN, the chief forester of that, who runs supreme in their eyes, the UN, over all Canadian and American affairs, came from the U.S. Forest Service, and she is actually our chief forester in the U.S. right now. So they're making inroads on the resources side of things. And if they control your ability to feed your family and your communities and churches, whatever you have or involved in,
mm-hmm.
and your country and your state and your county, whatever, your ability to manufacture goods for the benefit of society around you, to drink water that's healthy and not controlled, to drink out of your own wells, to harvest timber, to raise cattle, what have you. When they control that, they control your life.
Exactly.
And too many sheeple out there are going to walk into it and suddenly wake up one day after saying for years that it can't happen here, which happened to 5 million Chinese right after World War II. Oh, it can never happen here. Well, they found out with a bullet in the head.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen here, and it can suddenly happen overnight because it's slow chinking of the wall. And when you suddenly can't feed yourself, your communities can't sustain themselves or drink water or irrigate or do anything, a lot of people are going to get right in line, unfortunately, like the good sheeple they are, to the government detention camps to be reeducated. And get their little food card for their minor ration each month, and they're going to toe the line and rat on neighbors, etc. We are at an epic point in history. People need to wake up to that, and you're doing a good job.
Thank you. The right to bear arms, seeing as how you own Shamley Arms, do you believe every person should have the right to own and walk around with a gun, knife, sword, or another form of weapon?
Yeah, I do.
Good.
Because
I also believe that.
There's a lot of areas that there's the county right next door to us, and I say next door, it's in New Mexico, it's 13 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
That's how close we are to the New Mexican border. And in Georgia, et cetera, who did mandatory carry laws.
Hmm.
And, it's that simple. Mandatory carry laws. Taking the right one step further. And documented by the FBI, the federal government, the National Crime Investigation Center under the FBI, et cetera, and universities all over, and some wonderful even reports out of Canadian universities, showed 400% decreases. And whole towns in the southern states, like in Georgia, who were in these counties that enacted mandatory carriage, found suddenly that they were maybe the local seat of physical assaults upon women, who are usually the target of those. It's just a statistical fact. Rapes, armed robberies, and then the general house robberies and burglaries went from a statistic to nothing. So it proves, and plus it is not government's job to protect you. It is not their job.
Mm-hmm.
It is your job to protect you and yourself and your property. And when you hand over a right and give it away to the government, it turns into a privilege, and privileges can be taken away. And if you fall from favor with the king, if you will, by not paying homage, and you fall from favor, guess what? You're just another chattel servant.
Yeah, that's so true. I just have another question. There's a shaman in Africa by the name of Credo Matwa who claims to be involved in a secret society that carries with them the knowledge of the origins of our world and the reptilian race. Credo states, "I noticed that school children in mission schools who had been vaccinated for smallpox or measles could not see spiritual entities at all. A flying saucer would fly through the sky at great speed and be seen by many men and women, but the children who had been vaccinated would see nothing, and I noticed this hundreds of times. So my question to you is, do you believe many vaccinations are actually concoctions created to numb our spiritual perception?"
I can tell you this. Vaccinations are an experiment across the board. It's been proven over and over again. In fact, there's a wonderful work about the horrors of vaccination to stop all mandatory vaccinations by the government, written decades and decades ago. I have the entire thing in PDF, and if someone emails me, I'll send it to them for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free use book. I legally can do that. Vaccinations are used quite often as an experimental tool by government or government-sanctioned agency to test new theories, and they don't care about the outcome. They don't care if it destroys your babies or your mind, and it's no different than several of the mind control concoctions out there that are supposedly going to help you with depression, and then all you end up seeing is school shootings, people that are heavily sedated. And there is no doubt in my mind that vaccinations through their, you know, like Thimerosal with the base and mercury's as a base and lead's as a base, do numb down people's perceptions, abilities to think. Much of the cause of autism and the incredible spike and rise of it is due to vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
It's a side effect. And now what do they do? Oh, well, you're autistic, or oh, you have ADD, or you have ADHD. This whole plethora of government-created problems due to vaccination. So what do? We're going to give you some more dope, some lithium or what have you, and Ritalin, Prozac. And it's a wonderful mind-control thing.
Well,
I can't verify that vaccines stop any spiritual,
mm-hmm.
but if they numb down your sensory organs,
yeah.
and if you've seen someone heavily sedated from mood-altering drugs prescribed by the government or their doctors or whoever, or a person that suffered from vaccinations, and you see them and you try to hold rational, let's go right now, conversations or perceptions of what's really going on in reality, they do seem dumbed down, like they're on a so-called happy pill.
Mm-hmm. You were part of a five-day meeting called the HOT Conference. One aspect of this is to teach others how to survive in an urban environment just in case catastrophe strikes. What could the people of today do to protect themselves from the direction our government seems to be taking us, and how can we be prepared?
Well, our coming conference is full this September, and that's the emphasis is this year is urban. We've covered all aspects. We have master herbalists there, gardeners, medics, researchers. We do field exercises, how to start home businesses to get out of the loop right now
mm-hmm.
so you don't suffer as much. What my recommendations would be to people stuck because a lot of you can control the U.S. population with 10 key cities, the bulk of the population, and that's the same for Canada. So you need to, a person, not you, needs to be aware of that fact and accept it, quit being in denial. That's
mm-hmm.
the first big step. Next, you need to realize the fact that you are responsible for your own safety and livelihood and well-being. How can you do that? Square foot gardening. It's incredibly efficient. The studios in Canada do it. We do it. We've had the original founder of it, engineer Mel Bartholomew, as a host. High output of herbs and food for your family and neighbors and loved ones organically without any pesticides, with a huge decrease in the amount of water needed. You need to store seeds. If you plan on getting in line and buying some food in a catastrophe, you're crazy. And as long as you've got the ability to feed yourself and defend yourself and communicate, whether that be family radio services, CBs, what have you, those people that would strip your freedoms from you have got a hell of an uphill battle.
Because mm-hmm.
you can just forget the cell phones, forget the telecommunications networks of Canada. You can communicate amongst yourselves. And you can feed yourselves. And then they don't have that leverage of man-made crises, store shelves being empty, or taking advantage of a natural crisis, a big flood or earthquake, blocking deliveries of food and medical supplies to regions to where you're crippled. People should be able to have their own, go down and take a basic CPR and first aid course,
mm-hmm.
and then have some supplies on hand.
Hmm.
Make sure to have a not normal mainstream communications. Forget the cell phones
yeah.
and the internet. When the big crunch comes down, those are the first two things going down with it.
Yep.
So I'd rather have a 1970s era CB technology in my home mm-hmm. and friends and loved ones and like-minded people with the same technology
exactly
than the fanciest cell phone made, because it will be shut down from us out here, as they like to refer to us, the civilian populace.
Mm-hmm.
So alternative means of communication, ways to feed yourself, heal yourself, the School of Natural Healing in Utah,
mm-hmm.
The Christopher family, regular, we broadcast their programming on our website, hourofthetime.com, every evening. They're featured guests, and we film all this. And this summer, you're going to see the culmination of years of our conferences available on DVD format as whole packages at incredible discounts or class by class. Maybe you are an expert at communications and knot tying and water purification, but you're lacking in gardening skills. You can buy just that one DVD.
Okay.
And we're making this library available to people because we want people of all backgrounds and all countries to be ready to stand on your own 2 feet and avoid the suffering.
So where can people purchase this?
Well, we'll be debuting most of those in latter June at our website, hourofthetime.com.
Okay.
You're going to see upcoming, we're really proud to be releasing the first and only film on a major archaeological discovery right here in the Southwest Americas that we filmed in person with our professional crews, like James, who did the documentary of William Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
The crews, the same producers, everything, and Rob and myself, several researchers. It's a look at Native American history and the origins of man and our beliefs that has been suppressed by the government and educational system out there, which is controlled by the government, and which really will rewrite how people look at history. And we'll be debuting that in June as well.
Okay.
So June is a big month for us. That's why we're going to be doing a lot of the property rights and water rights, and the core fundamentals of all of our bases of freedom will be getting filmed and produced as well in June. The website, we're making some huge leaps, hourofthetime.com.
Okay.
June is kind of just the culmination of the last 2 years' projects that we picked. And we're right on schedule for that.
Good.
Now, anybody can as well email with us, contact us that way. My personal email is hourofthetime@hotmail.com. And I really apologize for not having the Canadian Studios email memorized. I should. But
it's okay.
You can go, if you just go to the website to the contact us, and the course
cool.
studio number there in Canada, Ottawa, is 613-733-4324.
Okay.
And I can say that I am glad you contacted us. You have been I just want to say it before we end up out of time or cut off. You've been a wonderful host.
Thank you so much.
I have
much.
Been doing a lot of interviews lately,
mm-hmm.
and I'm pulling my hair out lately with such shoddy hosts that aren't prepared, haven't done their research.
Yeah.
And it's an embarrassment, and it's kind of an insult, because
yeah.
it's not like we're exactly just have a ton of free time here
exactly.
at the hour of the time
mm-hmm.
to throw away 3 hours of our evening to someone who can't even get our name right on the air.
Oh, my God.
So I really appreciate your candor and professionalism.
Well, I look up to you, and William Cooper, he inspired me to get into radio. Seriously, I have so much respect for you and for Robert Houghton and for William Cooper. Like, you have inspired me to actually want to make a change in the world and to speak about freedom, because freedom is our very base connection when it comes to human nature.
Mm-hmm.
And my last couple questions that I have for you here is there any information you feel to be of crucial importance that the public should know about? And how do we as a people reach freedom in your eyes?
Well, crucial information. Gosh, that's a hard one because we study so many aspects here.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say that one thing for sure is that people need to realize that government, as Washington and many of the American founding fathers said, is like fire. It can be a useful tool or an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to come to that fact and quit thinking that government's here to help you. It is not. Government, ideally, would have been maintained in the form of our original constitutional republic in America, would have been about the most ideal system that mortal man could come up with.
Mm-hmm.
But we allowed it to get adulterated and corrupted by megalomaniacs. And a lot of that is through people's apathy. As far as one specific area, all I can say is, in general, don't believe anything you read or hear. Go research it. I've told you about the Canamex Highway, its
mm-hmm.
origins, what it's trying to do, the Amero Dollar, the Wildlands Project, the Rio de Janeiro Summits, the North American Union. I don't want you to believe me. Go out and look them up.
Yeah.
You're only going to verify I'm not lying to you.
Exactly.
Now, your second question Could you just repeat it, please?
How do we as a people reach freedom in your eyes?
The best way to reach freedom, in my eyes, is to show our governments, wherever we might live, that we do have the ability to resist and stand on our own.
Mm-hmm.
See, most politicians, no matter where they're at, have that disease. They have a megalomaniacal syndrome, I call it. And a megalomaniac, you can look it up, is a genuine mental condition
mm-hmm.
or state that people get themselves into, whether they be Bilderberg attendees or major corporate leadership or the petty bureaucrat that hassles you when you want to go do some tags on your automobile.
Yeah.
And when they realize that you are not subject to them because you can sustain yourselves and your family and loved ones and communities without their supply lines, without their communication services, it scares them.
Oh, yeah.
And they're weak little petty-minded coward people. and it is a disease.
Mm-hmm.
And the way for them to strike out, it's like the bully on the school ground.
Yep.
They're typically very weak-minded. Inside, they don't have a structure. Whatever your spiritual leaning is, they don't have a connection there either.
Yep.
And
very
I'm not here to dictate how you spiritually should be your, you know, lead your life, but you need to feel secure in your physical and spiritual well-being.
Definitely.
And then you are a stronger person. And the typical bully on the school ground is a very weak individual.
Mm-hmm.
And government is simply a mirror image of that school ground bully on a massive scale. And mm-hmm. when the bully, when you stand up and hit them right back square in the nose and bloody them, they typically step down
exactly.
forever. You can go to junior high and high school with them, and they're never going to bother you again.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
So I don't know. That's the best little whatever hyperbole I could give you.
Well, I'd like to thank you, Mr. Doyle Shamley, for being my guest today. I'm so
grateful. Call me Doyle, please.
Thank you, Doyle.
Uh-huh.
You're the best, man. I wish you well with your radio show and your business, Shamley Arms, and we must continue to keep in touch and to keep freedom of speech alive, for if we do not, we have nothing. We have no voice, and our voice is what is most powerful.
Yes. And I would really consider if you all is into it, whether it's you and some friends or you and 80 people or whatever, get with Rob as soon as possible there in the Canadian studios and take advantage of our, like, once-a-year staff meeting in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a busy work week, but I would certainly entertain a live engagement at a cafe, a bookstore, what have you.
Okay, definitely. Well, I have a show which is going to be at Babylon this Friday, May 29th at 9 p.m., $10 at the door. There's going to be 3 music acts, and there will be body painting along with hula hooping, a jester, and I'll be giving a speech about government conspiracies, freedom and liberation. So once I get this recorded, I'd love to send you a copy of that.
I definitely. Would love you to, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but Rob and many of our allies up there in Ottawa
mm-hmm.
are members of a premier musical band.
And what
our very Rob, called Cooper Hill Band, named after the hill that Bill lived on.
Yeah, the hill that he lived on, it was in alignment with where he was buried?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's a very odd situation, but our favorite view, and his especially,
mm-hmm.
was to sit on the back porch and look at our beautiful Round Valley here
yeah.
and just barbecue and listen to shortwave and have a good time. And I went into the cemetery down the ridgeline, and I was by myself, a lot of pressure, obviously, to find him a grave site. And the city person understood what I was going through at the time and said, well, I'll just let you be. And I've got a map here, and you just kind of find some places, and I'll let you know if they're used or taken.
Yeah.
And I was walking, and I looked over and had the same view as our back porch patio. It was stunning, and I looked over, and it's perfectly in line with the back porch in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wow, this is weird, and it kind of looked like it might have been reserved. You know, families will do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the guy, waited at the front gate very courteously, and I said, from the city there, and said, hey, I want this one. Come over here. And I had this weird feeling. Something stopped me in my tracks at that spot and had that view both ways. And he goes, God, I thought this was a taken spot, but now that I'm looking through the records, this spot is open.
Mm-hmm.
That is bizarre.
I remember that from the documentary, and everyone sent the rocks.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
So.
Well, I believe that's all the time we have for today. But I'd like to thank you so much again for just being a part of my first show. It's much appreciated.
Oh, I Thank you. You're doing a good job.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Have a great night, and hopefully I'll talk to you soon and maybe work with you in the future.
Cool. Good deal. Thank you very much.
I'll talk to you soon, Doyle.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that's all the time we have for tonight. I'd like to leave you with a quote by Mr. William Cooper. I believe this, I found this to be true. If you're not walking on the razor blade, you're really living in a kind of death-like existence. You have to have that danger facing you that if I slip, I'm dead. That's what makes you live. That's what gives you life. That's what gives you purpose. And I sincerely believe that any man and woman who does not have principles for which they're ready and willing to die for at any given moment that they are called upon to do that are already dead and will be of no consequence. Sorry, I totally messed that up. William Cooper, I am so sorry, man. Let me just, anyway, I messed that up. I'm so sorry, Doyle. I'd like to just say today, despite the mistakes that I've made on my first show, Doyle Shamley was the best guest that I could ever ask for to interview. And I'd like for you to tune in to my next show. If you'd like to contact me, you can reach me at quaggle@reborn.com or visit my website, www.quaggle.com. I'm Kanaska Carter, and I'm your host for 1 Hour to Freedom, freeing the mind 1 hour at a time. Have a great night.